Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Amani Talks podcast. You're here with your host, Amani Talks. So what I wanted to do today to prepare our hearts and minds for the upcoming longer format interviews that I'm coming out with, hopefully this Friday, the episode will be ready and the editing will be all done. But I wanted to really give you guys a setup or a prelude to what you're going to be seeing, because it will be different information and a lot different than what I was doing previously. And I thought that a good idea would be to give you guys a little bit of background about me, because ever since season two ended, I do have new subscribers and I do feel the need to reintroduce myself. For season one, I gave a little background about what I do for work or what I was doing for work, how my podcast came to be, my ideas, but I didn't really give you guys really like a Amani background. So for the new information that you will be seeing upcoming for season three, when we are talking about marriages, I wanted to give you guys my story and a little bit of my testimony, really. So hi, once again, my name is Amani. I'm in my late 20s. I live in Atlanta. I've been here about 6 years and I'm from upstate New York. Growing up, my parents had me very young. So I was kind of like the guinea pig child. I like to tell people that that's kind of my experience. I have a lot of siblings. Multiple siblings. And for a large part of my upbringing, I did grow up in the church. My mom was, you name it, she did it in the church. She served in many different ways, in the choir, Sunday school, teaching, anything that the church was involved in, my mom was involved in. So if we were at church Sundays, Wednesdays, Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night. If there was any kind of a church event, we were at church for Halloween, you know. That's how I grew up, in the church. I got saved and baptized. I want to say it was definitely when I was younger than 10. I would say maybe 8 or 9. But I did fully grasp the concept. I knew exactly what I was believing, that Jesus, you know, was my Lord and Savior, died on the cross for my sins, resurrected in 3 days. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. I knew exactly what I was doing. I was capable of understanding that. So I would say that my Christian walk has been very much up and down, to be honest with you. There was a time that I was in college and I was a part of a youth group and going to church, and I really enjoyed it and I had really given my life to God. And it's so funny because it seems like every time you totally give your life over to God and you're saying, God, your will be done. Take it all. I want to live for you and walk in whatever path you have for me. That's when God will break you down. And I see so many times that people say that, and that seems to be the theme. Once you just surrender all to him, he really takes away what you have so that he can build you up correctly. So there were a lot of things in my life that I felt like I had done for myself, right? When you are a first generation college student, you feel like, oh, I did that. I had a car that I bought cash. Oh, I worked, you know, while in college. I did that. I was living in a one bedroom apartment and I was like, you know, 19, like 20, living by myself, paying my own rent, like my own car. I'm in college. Like I was like, girl, you doing it. And God, and it's so funny because there was literally a week span that all crumbled. I was just out of college, fresh out of college. And when I tell you no money, I mean, no money, no bank account. And then because I didn't have any money, I went to my mom and I told her, can I move back in? And it's so funny. Literally the day that I was driving to my mom's house to go ask her to move back in to my parents' house, my car was parked on the street. Tell me why somebody did a hit and run on my car, totaled it. So now I'm out of college. I don't have my apartment anymore because I can't afford it. And I don't have a car. So it was like God totally like broke me down, right? And he does that sometimes, because when we feel like we've done everything ourselves and we're so self-deficient or self-sufficient, God will take those things away to make your dependence on him. He needs to let you know, like, first of all, what you had wasn't through you anyways. It was by the grace, my grace and my love, that you even had those things, first of all. But just in case you got it twisted, girl, I can take it away. But God never takes away without adding. But in my spiritual maturity at the time, or immaturity at the time, because I was 21 at the time, I was impatient. Even though I had totally surrendered everything to God at that point and was serving in my church and doing the do, I I felt like God had taken things away from me and didn't give me things as quickly as I wanted them, right? I'm feeling like, okay, you're going to take away this. Give me this right now. You're going to take away me drinking and going out with my friends. Okay, give me a new set of friends. And when those things weren't happening when I wanted them to happen, I totally lost patience. I totally got discouraged. And I said, you know what? Forget it. Forget it. Like, I'm going to live how I want to live. And that's exactly what I did. As soon as I turned 21, I was at the bar every single weekend, like drinking, getting drunk. And I really never drank until I was really age appropriate. And my relationship with alcohol, because of that, not just because of that, but also because of the things that I saw in my family too, it was like all or nothing. If I was going to drink, I was going to get drunk. There was no, oh, have one glass of wine. It was no, drink the whole bottle as a pregame and then go out. It was, you know, take five shots all at once, like get drunk. Like that was my relationship with alcohol. That's what I thought alcohol was for. I didn't see any point in drinking and not getting drunk, but you know, I digress. So that's what I was doing. Totally just started, you know, celibacy gone. You know, I was dating, having sex, drinking too much. And I wanted to get as far away from what I grew up with, in a sense, and my family as possible. And I moved across the country to Atlanta. I always wanted to live in Atlanta, but that was the time in my life. I was just like, you know what? I'm done with all this. I'm moving. Packed up all my stuff, packed up everything I owned in a two-door rusty Pontiac and drove to Georgia. And that's where I've been ever since. And I'm telling you guys, as soon as I got to Georgia, there was no church. I did not look for a home church, even though I grew up in a church. And even at one point, I genuinely enjoyed it. That was just not the path I was going on at the time. I moved to Atlanta, was working a good full-time job at the bank. The pandemic hit and they sent me to work from home, and I hated working from home. But also at this time, I was working in the clubs as a bottle girl. And anyone that knows me or knows my background already knows that I worked as a bottle girl in Atlanta for about 3.5 years. And at the last job I had, I'll tell you guys, it's so funny because I never enjoyed the job. It was just the money. Like the money was fast money. And once I decided to quit my 9-to-5 because I was making so much money in the clubs, it allowed me so much freedom. Like I opened a business and I started my podcast and I started making money on social media. Like it allowed me to do so many things and just, you know, dibble and dabble on things until I found what I wanted to do, which was the podcast. And my bottle girl job totally gave me the money and the freedom for that. So for that, I'm thankful, because that's definitely something that God could have used to give me my platform now looking back on it. So I never liked the job in itself. I never thought that my personality fit it. I never thought that I was aggressive enough. A lot of girls that work in the clubs are very aggressive, mean people. And I was just the opposite, you know, so I never felt like I was comfortable there. I never liked it, but the money was just so good. So I did it for years, right? So the last job that I was at, even though I never liked the job, I never felt too bad about it, I guess. But I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, and this was about a year ago, not a year ago, maybe like 8-9 months ago. I'm sitting at my job in my fishnets and leotard. That was, you know, the uniform. And I'm sitting down and I'm sitting in one of like the sections. And it was one of my sections and it was clear I didn't have anybody in my section yet. And I didn't have anything to do. And I just sat down and I just listened to the music and I just saw what everyone else around me was doing. And when I tell you guys, the energy felt so demonic. For the first time ever, and I had been in this environment for years, for the first time ever, I was like, I feel it. Like, I genuinely felt the evil. Just there was something in the room that I was just like, Amani, get out of here. Like, I told myself in that moment, I'm going to give them this job a few more months. I can get my money up. I'm going to quit, and this is going to be it. But I think that God knew that I had gotten so comfortable with the money that he probably knew I would never leave unless I was forced out. And that's exactly what happened. Before I got a chance to quit that job, I was fired. And when I went to go look for a new bottle girl job, which I've always gotten like that, these jobs are very easy to come by. I'm a pretty girl, black girl in Atlanta. Like it was, these jobs are very easy to come by. And I looked for a new job and could not find a new job. I was getting interview after interview after interview. I even trained at a couple places and they did not hire me. And that was very weird because at that point, the job that I had just got fired from, that was maybe like the fourth club I had worked at. And every time I left a job, I always got a new job the next day. Before I even left the other job, I had a new job. So the fact that not only was I fired, which was weird, but I could not find a new job to save my life, that was God pushing me out because he knew, girl, you're never going to leave. You are comfortable here. This money is making you comfortable. So he literally forced me out. I was working at a restaurant as a bartender and I hated it. And after a few months of that, I went out on a limb and I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust me and I am going to focus on myself, quit this job. And at this point, I was making good money on social media. And I was like, let me quit this job and go full force with my podcast because that's actually really what I want to do. I want to develop that. And if I don't do it right now, when will I ever do it? It's like it was a now or never moment for me to say I'm set up for it. I've thought about it for months. I'm finally doing it. And I stepped out on faith. And in December of 2023, that was the last time I worked for somebody else. Period. And ever since then, it has just been me making money off of social media and me advancing my podcast. So that's exactly what I do right now. And the beginning of the podcast was I will admit that I do feel like I caused a lot of division, a lot of negative discourse. I don't think that anything I said was ever wrong because it was not. But there is a way to say things and I was 100% not saying it in love. So let me tell you guys just why I decided to even kind of redirect how I'm handling my content from now on. I was dating. I just literally got out of a relationship. It's been 2 months that I've been single, or I was always single because I was never married. But it's been 2 months since I cut off that relationship, right? And it's funny because when me and this guy got together,
did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
There's no other way to put it than I thought that I was going to marry this guy. I saw him proposing to me. I thought I was going to marry this guy. Like, that's how I felt about him, right? And he was taking me, and like I'm telling you, like, up until this point, still no church. This is years and years and years of me not going to church, me living for myself, and not doing anything for God's will. Like, that was so far from my mind. Church was not my thing. But the guy that I was dating, he would go to church. And so he brought me to his church and it was such a good church. I can't remember the name of it, but it was such a good church. Like I told you guys, I was saved and baptized before I hit the age of 10. And when you're a saved Christian and you decide to kind of turn your back on God for years, because here's the thing, we have free will. The Christian walk is never linear. It's never 100% progressive all the time. The Christian walk can be filled with ups and downs. And the past years that I've been in Atlanta, that has been a down in my Christian life. No prayer, no Bible reading, no church, no none of that. So, and that's the way I was living. So I was dating this guy and we were doing all the wrong things. Like I said, sex, drinking, whatever we wanted to do, living life for us. And he took me to his church. And the Holy Spirit that was already in me once I got saved as a little girl, it was still within me and I was convicted when I went to his church. And if I'm being honest, the reason that I feel like I was staying away from church for the past 6 years is because I knew that once I went that I would be convicted and I was just not ready to give up my lifestyle. I didn't want to stop working in the club yet. I didn't want to give up my relationships. I didn't want to stop drinking. So that's really what I, looking back now, I think that's what I was doing. I was avoiding church to avoid the accountability and to avoid the Holy Spirit convicting me. And so when my boyfriend brought me to church, and it was such a great church, it was such a great message, the message totally got to my heart and it convicted me. And I'm telling you guys, I could have cried right there on the spot. Like, I was trying so hard to hold back tears because I was with him and his family. And I was like, I really don't want to cry right now. So I was like holding back tears, but I felt it. Like, I felt it. And so after he took me to church and I was totally convicted, I started seeking out my own home church. And recently I have found one, a really good sound doctrine, friendly people, everything. But because I had recommitted my life back to God in the past few months, the things that I was doing, I didn't want to do them anymore. I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to keep having sex. I didn't want to keep doing any of those things, because when you commit your life to God, he totally transforms you. And the things that you thought made up your personality, for example, drinking was my personality. Like, I'm telling you guys, in the years that I've been in Atlanta and the friends that I've made, they knew that Amani was going to drink. I was the friend that's like, take another shot, chug a beer. Let's go. Let's pregame before we go out. Like, I always had alcohol in my fridge. Like, I was that friend. They knew, oh, Amani's going to be down to drink. I'm the friend that's encouraging the drinking most of the time. Like, I was like the heavyweight. I didn't even mind getting sick. Like, I could like get sick off of alcohol and then give me a day to recover. I'm back at it the next day. So that was my personality. Like, there are a lot of things that became my personality when I wasn't close with God. But when I decided to, you know, repair that relationship with God, he took away so many desires. And him taking away a lot of the desires of what I was doing before led to the demise of my relationship. And I remember praying and asking God, God, if this is not my husband, if this is not the person that you have for me, remove him. And God did it like that. Girl, I'm telling you, if there is no other prayer that you can pray that God will answer like that, it's that prayer. When you pray to remove people that are not for you, or people that are not going to, if you pray and ask God to remove people that are going to hinder your spiritual walk, he will do it. So I prayed that prayer and I went to bed. God woke me up at 5 a.m. And if y'all know me, y'all know I'm not waking up at no 5 a.m. Like, I haven't had a 9-to-5 job in like 2 years. I go to sleep and wake up when I want. And I literally didn't go to sleep that night until 2 a.m. So for me to just wake up at 5 and just be up was very weird. I woke up and I had this feeling in my gut. Like, when I tell you a feeling in my gut, I had a feel like it was all over my body. And I knew it was from God. I knew it, right? And even knowing that, I still tried to ignore it, girl. I rolled around and went back to sleep, or tried to go back to sleep, but I couldn't. Because as soon as I rolled over on my other side and closed my eyes, that feeling popped up. It was like this anxious feeling. It was very weird. I never felt that before. And I was like, you know what? Let me just call this guy. Let me call him and break it off. And that's exactly what I did. I called him and we broke it off. And from that moment on, I just decided to give everything to God. My podcast, my content, my relationships, whatever he wants me to do, that's what I'm doing. So just giving you guys that background about me and about, I guess, the difference that you will be seeing, and you probably already have started to see in my content, I think that a lot of people are either wanting me to do what I was doing before, or it's new people and they don't really know about me. And I just wanted to give you guys that, because on some level I feel like I have to apologize almost for giving you guys the wrong sense of who I am for the past year on this podcast. Because that, even though, like I said, nothing that I said was wrong, and the conversations that I had were definitely conversations that needed to be had, especially in the Black community, it was about my delivery. And my delivery was 100% not out of love. And if I'm not saying things out of love, then what am I saying them for? Love is the only encouragement that we have. And I can take accountability for the dissension that I definitely cause a division. And a lot of things that people don't like. Not that I live my life for people. I don't care if you like what I say or not. But I can take accountability for me not saying things the way that they should have been said. And for not ever speaking about God too, because that's what my life is now. And that's what you guys will be seeing. This upcoming season, my first episode will be about, it's still going to be about relationships. This is still a relationship podcast. but it's about the correct way to do things. We are going to be talking to married women, and you're going to hear stories that will probably make you scratch your head or applaud, either way. But I just wanted to give you guys that background on me to prepare you for the upcoming episodes, because they are such good episodes. I just recorded them. They were so inspirational. And I really hope that you guys see it the same way, because in the sphere of what we are dealing with in our relationships and how it just seems like a constant battle when we talk about men and women getting together. We got the 4B movement. We got the soft guy movement, the 5B to combat the 4B. And women, you know, want to be left alone, but they still want to get married at a certain age. And men don't want to provide, but they still want submissive wives. Like, let's clean it up and let's get to the root of all of it. It's because we don't have godly relationships. Our relationships are 100% for us and what we want to do and what we feel and what makes us comfortable. When we really get to the root of what marriage actually is, and to be honest, marriage is not even something that you get into for yourself. Yes, it's for you, right? I think it's in the book of Mark, if I'm not mistaken, but there was this passage where the disciples were asking Jesus about what he thought about, you know, marriage and divorce and celibacy. And he said, if a man can handle being celibate, or if a person can handle it, let him handle it. So if they are what they were calling eunuchs, which I think that in modern times would be nuns, if there are people that are able to shut that part of them off and devote their lives to God, let them do that. But honestly, the majority of us don't have that in us. That is a gift. It is 100% a gift to be single, unmarried, and devote your life to God. Most of us want kids. Most of us want marriage. And for those of us who want kids and marriage, you have to acknowledge that first and foremost, a marriage is supposed to glorify God. That is the purpose of a marriage. A man's commitment to his marriage and love to his wife is supposed to directly mirror Jesus's love for the church. That's what marriage is, to glorify God. So if your marriage is not glorifying God, what are you doing? And that's why we have so many examples of horrible, dysfunctional marriages today, because a lot of people don't even know why we get married anymore. They don't know why we get married anymore. They don't know how to get married anymore. And they do all the wrong things before marriage. A lot of us don't even save anything for marriage. You know, we have sex with whoever we want to have sex with, and now we don't have that for our husbands or our wives. You have children outside of wedlock, and now you don't even have that to share as a first experience for your wife or your husband. There are a lot of things that we give people that have not committed to us in any way that we don't have anything to experience for the first time with our spouses. And that in itself is going to cause a major disconnect with a lot of marriages. You didn't save anything from marriage, boo. Like, how is your marriage special when you didn't save anything for marriage? And I'm talking to myself too. There are some things I haven't done. You know, I don't live with nobody. I don't have anybody's kids. But there are a lot of things that I've done outside the bounds of marriage that I didn't save for my husband. And a lot of us don't. And, you know, that's just one talking point. But we will have conversations coming up, you guys will see, where dating is not necessary. Sex is not necessary. The whole girlfriend boyfriend thing is not necessary. Well, tell me one time in the Bible, it talks about a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Tell me one time. You can't, because it doesn't. Girlfriend boyfriend does not exist. We made that up, and we see where relationships are today because we made this up. Because at the end of the day, you don't need a whole plethora of men or women available to you. You just need one person that God will reveal to you, and he will if you desire that. And you guys will see in the upcoming episodes. I really can't wait. It's going to be amazing. So stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribed. Subscribe, like, comment so that you can get notifications about, hopefully this Friday, the episode will come out. And it's going to be so good, you guys. I'm just so proud and excited and just thankful for how God has turned this podcast around. And I'm just really thankful for what you guys will see from it, because it's going to be amazing. What God ordains, he maintains, and I have no doubts that he will make this podcast flourish. So I will see you guys soon. Stay tuned this week for the next episode. All right, bye.